Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Lily. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Lily Chu. I am a writer living in Toronto. So I live in a very small, crooked house with two cats, a beautiful chameleon named Cammy, who is getting old, so he's just hanging on his branch right now, and my husband and my daughter. And I write rom-coms with strong Asian characters.
I love this. So what led you to start writing rom-coms? You know, was it something you passionate about, film, movies, books, or like, what was your gateway into this genre?
Yeah. It's funny you should ask, because I was a paranormal writer, paranormal romance, like love fantasy, science fiction. The very first book I wrote was like a cyberpunk book. And then a couple years ago, you know, my agent came to me and she's like, have you thought about writing a rom-com? And I said, no, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that's my thing. And she's like, it could be your thing if you keep an open mind and you kind of are curious about it. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And then later on that year, some stuff happened in a writing organization I was part of that had to do with representation and diversity. And I kind of thought, like, you know, the books I'd been writing, they weren't hitting the subjects I really wanted to talk about. I would just, maybe I'm just not talented enough, but I wasn't able to do it in the way I wanted to. And I thought a rom-com really was kind of something I wanted to try writing, because I really wanted to try talking about these issues, but not in a whack you over the head sort of way, but more of an observational way that would get people thinking about it. And in a way that I was kind of comfortable talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I texted my agent. It was funny because I was like, I'm going to write a rom-com. And I get a text from her. She's like, we need to talk. And we got on the phone. I'm like, I'm going to write a rom-com. She's like, that's what I was going to tell you you were going to do. And then I had this idea and I wrote it in 6 months.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
It was a pandemic book. This was the first month of the pandemic. So I started writing January, mm-hmm. I don't even know, 2020. All the years are blending to me right now.
Yeah.
I think like a lot of writers, I needed something to get through. It was an escape for me to get through those first few months. Mm-hmm. And I just sat down and wrote.
So this book came out as an audio first, and then it's going to be printed afterwards. Did you write it knowing that it was going to be audio first, or what was the process?
Yeah, no, it was written as if it was going to be pitched for print.
Okay.
But it went to auction with, I think, 6 or 8 publishing houses. And mm-hmm. We went with Audible and then Sourcebooks as the print publisher, but it wasn't written for audio. Mm-hmm. I think my writing style kind of lends itself well to audio, because I tend to write, you know, dialogue and shorter sentences. And now with my second book, I was thinking a little more about the audio side of things, mm-hmm. But it's not just audio dialogue in the sense that there's just two people talking and no description or anything.
Mm. And so are you an audio listener, or was it something that came up afterwards? You're like, oh, like, this is a whole new world out there.
Yeah, I've been listening to audio for a few years. I listen to it when, you know, I go for runs or walks. You know, I like podcasts, but I still find that when I'm listening to audiobooks, I gravitate to nonfiction still. Mm-hmm. you know, there are certain audiobooks that I'm listening to in fiction more now, but for some reason, I really like nonfiction audiobooks. And even some of the fiction books I've read in audio or listened to in audio, you know, I've gone out and I've picked up the print copy as well. Mm-hmm. There's just something about holding a book that I really like.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I think for me, I'm more of like a memoir for audio. And every so often, I got caught up with Audible because Audible has like so many, you know, every so often they give so many original
content.
You're so, it's immersive and you just like get caught up. But I think for my first passion is like nonfiction, like memoirs, the Lord of Bios, like people like, you know, telling your story and you just like get immersed in that world. But I found that Romance books lends itself well to audio. Just to get, you get immersed in this world that's happening. Yeah. And you know that the ending is going to be happy.
Yes.
You're not going to be
frustrated when you're listening.
Yeah. You're not going to be frustrated at the end. You're like, I got to throw this book away because.
That's so upsetting. It, you know, anything that's a cliffhanger or anything that's not, right now especially, mm-hmm. if it's not happy and it's not all tied up in the end, I am rampaging.
Yeah.
I really need a happy story and I need to know it's all good at the end, and that's fine. If it ends up with a, you know, some sort of an ambiguous ending, I'm like, I don't have the emotional wherewithal to do that in my head. I need you, the author, to give me the happiness.
Yes, I completely agree. So let's chat about the stand-in. Tell us a little about the elevator pitch.
Okay, so in one line, it is about a woman who takes on a job impersonating a Chinese film star at events. The longer version of it is Gracie Reed is a biracial Canadian woman, so she's half Chinese, half white, living in Toronto, and she gets accidentally misidentified as this Chinese film star named Wei Fangli. For reasons, Gracie gets fired from her job, and things are just not looking great for her. So when Wei Fangli comes to her with a suggestion that Gracie act as Fangli during events, she kind of reluctantly says okay, because she needs the money to get her mom into a culturally sensitive long-term care facility rather than the kind of the one she's in now. So, you know, 2 days later, she's learning how to be a movie star. She's living the life of luxury. She's got designer clothes and bags and perfumes. And she's also trying to deal with Sam Yao, who is the sexiest man in the world, mm-hmm. according to rankings. He is Fong Lee's best friend, you know, rumored boyfriend, partner, irritating beyond belief to Gracie, and also Fong Lee's escort at events, which means that he's now Gracie's escort to events. So the book kind of follows Gracie as she kind of deals with this world and starts to fall in love with Sam, and starts to wonder, you know, is Sam in love with her or this vision of her kind of as Fong Lee? And that's where I'm going to go with the plot because I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it also looks at, you know, Grace has got questions about what it means to be biracial. So, you know, identity, and it looks a lot at mental health and it looks at friendships and family. And if you are into productivity, planners, planning, to-do lists, huge chunk of it is devoted to that, a huge chunk.
I love this. I love the fact you're like giving us different niche, you know, like different top, different hooks. Like if you're into this, then it's this. And if you're into this, there's this. And, you know, as someone who loves Hollywood, you know, glamour, yeah. The PR, the what if, you know, how do you create the narrative? This book is for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And productivity, which I don't know if you're like a to-do planner or a list person.
Yeah. So are you a to-do planner? Are you a are you into productivity, like geeking it out, like you had a planner every year? Like what kind of, are you a digital planner or you're like paper planner?
I'm both. I'm both. And I kind of live by the philosophy that the next planner is going to be the life-changing planner. So I'm always kind of looking for the next thing, right? Right now I use a digital planner called Things Free. So I have that, and that's where I just kind of like, when I'm thinking of stuff, I just log it in there. But then I also have a paper planner where I kind of put everything I want to accomplish that day. Mm-hmm. And then I also have, you know, I'm looking at it right now. I have a journal calendar, and then, yeah, just, there's probably too many. I should probably streamline it a bit.
Oh yeah. I'm going to talk about thanks trees. Actually, that one, I'm curious about that one. Paper planner, do you have any specific company or specific ones that you go for that are trying to, or do you have any ones that you're like, okay, like I've tried this one, definitely can skip it. Or this one is like my next one that I'm looking forward to.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I really, really, really wanted to be a good bullet journaler. Mm-hmm. I wanted this so bad. I watched the video. I bought so many like things for bullet journaling. I bought stencils. I bought stamps. I bought washi tape. I bought it all. But that aspirational me is not me. I'm actually not very visual, and I'm not really good at keeping track of all those things. So I tried really hard. Bullet journaling was not my thing, but some of the elements of it really were, like looking at 6 months ahead. So now I have a Hobonichi, which is, it's got calendars in the front, and it's got days, each page is a day sort of a thing. So mm-hmm. I use that for journaling, and then kind of like calendar planning. But then I have just a notebook. I found this brand. I love the paper. I love the look of it. It's called Design Works. And this set of notebooks called Standard Issue, where at the top they have the months, they have like the days, like 1 to 31. And so you can just circle where you are. So there's not that pressure of each day having to, like, you know, with a day planner, mm-hmm. if you miss a day, you're like, oh, I'm a failure. Like, I have failed at this day. So it gives you a little more flexibility. So I use that to put in my to-do notes.
Okay. I love this. Yeah. I try to be a bullet journal too. I watch all the videos. I watch all the spreads, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. I have the ability to design them or to make them pretty. The only thing that came out of it is that I use the Lectern 1917 journal, but I use the rule version because I do journal every day. And so I used a rule version, which I like that because I have like all these colors, and it has like sticker. Yeah. They can tell what month or what year it is each journal. But yeah, I tried bullet journaling, and I was like, nope, did not work.
But I wanted to be a bullet. I wanted to be that person with the beautiful, you know, you look online, and this is where a lot of the online stuff kills me. It's not so much looking at beautiful people leading beautiful lives, but it's looking at people with really tidy houses, you know, with a single steaming cup of coffee in the morning. And they're just in this beautiful handwriting script. They've got, you know, what they're going to do that day, which is something, I don't know, going on a picnic or something amazing. And it's got, you know, watercolor water lilies painted around it. And I'm like, that's what I want. And there's no way I'm ever going to be that person. I can't read my own writing. You know, I only use black pens. I can't draw to save my life. But
I've been using Notion every so often, which is kind of like a wiki meets calendaring meets database. It's like you can make your own website, but it has different features, and they have like different templates, and like people use it for goal setting and for like calendars and like a to-do list. And so I wanted to be really good at that and have that be like this one place where I have all the stuff.
Yep.
It's like committing to it beyond the initial intake. It's like, how do you maintain it? That's my problem. I don't maintain the stuff. It's
And some of these have a really intense learning curve. Like bullet journaling has a learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds like it's, you know, I'm going to have to take tutorials on learning how to plan my own life.
So that's an option. All right, let's chat about some book reading. What are you working next?
Oh, okay. So my second book is coming out in July from Audible. So my print book, The Stand, is coming out in print in May. And then my second book is called The Comeback. And it's about an ambitious lawyer who falls in love with a K-pop idol. So that's coming out in July. And I'm currently writing my third book, which I don't want to give a lot of details about, but it takes place kind of partly in luxury fashion.
Ooh, I love this. I love that you're tapping into these like worlds, you know?
Yeah.
Fashion, K-pop, Hollywood, you know?
The K-pop one is so much fun to write.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love this. All right. So what are you currently reading?
So I'm drafting right now, which means I'm steering away from a lot of rom-coms because I don't like to read whatever genre I'm writing in at the moment. But before I start drafting, I read two amazing books, both by Toronto authors. One is Jackie Lau's Donut Fall in Love, mm-hmm. which is just the cutest thing in the world. But she also deals with a lot of heavier issues in her books too. Mm-hmm. So in this one, it was each of the characters had lost a parent. Mm-hmm. So it was touching, and it's about a movie star who goes to a baker to get lessons for a kind of cooking reality show he needs to go on. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend. Also make sure you have lots of snacks and treats when you're reading it. And then the second one was Farah Heron's Camila Knows Best, which is an Emma retelling. Mm-hmm. And it was, again, all Farah's stuff's amazing, and this was no exception. It was just a really great fun read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been reading Camila Knows Best. I'm listening to it, and then I really loved Jackie Lau's Donut Fall in Love, like the donuts, like that yeah. was like it was just so good. Yeah. I listened to both of those, and they're great in audio too.
So. Yeah, I've read them, physically. But I really enjoyed them. Like it's I don't know about you, but I found my attention span has not been the greatest lately. Yeah. And so there's a lot of books these days where I can't finish them. You know, I get a few pages in and I'm like, it's just not the book for me right now. But both of those, like from page one, I was totally immersed and was just happy in my happy space reading them.
I love this. Do you have any other books you recommend? It doesn't have to be romance. It can be anything.
Yeah. So, because I'm not reading a lot of romance, a little while ago, I saw Death on the Nile. The new Agatha Christie, I saw it in a theater with popcorn, which got me back into my love of kind of golden age of crime books. So I've been rereading a lot of Dorothy Sayers and Niall Marsh, which are just, they're just such fabulous writers. And, you know, if they're new to you, then I would recommend, if you're reading, let me see, I actually have them right here. So I'm going to just take a cute look right now. Let's see. I would say if you're reading Dorothy Sayers, her detective is Lord Peter Wimsey. Mm-hmm. And I would start with Strong Poison because that's where he meets his love interest and future wife, Harriet Vane, because Harriet is a detective story writer on trial for killing her lover. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really great start to their love story and their story. And then for the Niall Marsh's book, I think it's Artist in Crime. That's where her detective, Roderick Allen, meets his future wife, who is an artist named Agatha Troy. So again, both the characters in like kind of go through the books together. They end up getting married. This is no spoiler alert. Like, the books have been over decades, but it adds a really lovely human element to the actual murder mysteries in the book, which I have never ever managed to solve before the end. Ooh. Never.
I love this when that happens. It's like, oh, did not know how to solve.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and then I go back. I'm like, oh yeah, those are all the clues. Yeah. But I also have a really bad habit on mysteries of kind of skimming over some of the detail stuff to get to the people stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's a totally me thing, but so I've been doing my murder mysteries and reading a lot of nonfiction. So right now I'm reading one, it's called, I think it's called The Weirdest People in the World. And it's about how institutions have kind of, shifted the psychology of people in Western worlds. And the weird part is an acronym for weird, educated, industrialized, rich, and developed, I believe, by a Harvard prof. But I'm only a couple chapters in, but it's really, it's interesting.
That sounds really interesting. And yeah, I feel you. I sometimes read cozy mysteries and I'm like, I just want, and I read actually, no, historical mysteries. And I go for the romance first. Like I follow the romance. You know, I pay attention to that and not to the mystery of it.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, I just want to know, like, are they going to hang out? Are they going to hook up? Are you going to have some fun?
Yeah. Especially when, you know, the love interest is also a suspect.
Yes. You know, like, I just want to
know. Yeah, so, of those.
I understand. Just skip into clues and be like, oh, you know, what's happening?
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I know I'm going to reread it. I can get the clues later.
Yeah. So tell us where you can find you online.
So I am mostly on Instagram and it's at Lily Chu Author. I'm also on Twitter at Lily Chu Author. And then my website is, guess what? LilyChuAuthor.com. I'm not on Facebook. I watch a lot of TikTok, but I'm not on TikTok. I watch much too much TikTok, but I'm not on it. So, you know, it's probably best to find me on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you, Lily, for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibreFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.